We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on into Pink Smoke, as we said, presented by our good friends over at PNC. A big week for the Inter Miami Herons is a bye week. Yet haven't had a game since March of the 16th. It has been 10 days since we've seen our Herons in action, and it'll be 13 once we get to Saturday. How's everybody doing tonight? I'll tell you what, I'm fired up this weekend for Inter Miami against the Philadelphia Union, and then coming up on Wednesday, LAFC against Inter Miami. And open the curtain up a little bit. We are a Good Karma Brands radio station, a Good Karma Brands ESPN radio station. Our good buddies out in LA, LAFC, our ESPN LA studios are the official partner and radio home of LAFC. So, by the way, joining me again is Damian Perez. Damian, we're gonna have some fun with our LA guys. We're gonna have a little rivalry going in this CONCACAF Champions Cup that we got coming up next Wednesday.
Oh yeah, anytime you got the East Coast versus the West Coast, you know that narrative is always there. And like you said, you know, Good Karma Brands, there's also that rivalry. It's like our brother-sister station. So
yep.
Rivalries and narratives all over the place.
I'm ready to represent the pink, baby. I'm ready to represent some pink smoke as our Herons will be battling LAFC. But the first order of business is Philadelphia coming on Saturday. That is going to be a 7:30 kickoff against the Union. And Damian, this is a battle for first place. This is a true three-point game coming up for Inter Miami. Now, Inter's ahead on the aggregate, right? And when I mean the aggregate, they have a game in hand. The Union obviously played their game last week, and they won their game. So as of right now, they are in first place. But if the Herons win, they could have sole possession of first place. So this is going to have a lot of implications coming up this weekend live at Chase Stadium, Damian.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's always important to, you know, be in that top three positions in the Eastern Conference or Western Conference for LA.
Right.
For LA's perspective. But it's always important to be up in those positions to have the home field advantage. Now, I know it didn't matter much last year for Inter Miami, but you always want to have the home field advantage. And anytime you can get into that first place and kind of distance yourself from second and third, you got to take full advantage.
Yeah, and I'm sure Javier Mascherano, the gaffer, the head coach of Inter Miami, is coming up with ways to have this team ready to go come playoff time. You know, because you mentioned, Damian, it ended not the way that our Herons and our supporters really wanted. But I think Mascherano was brought in to figure out those problems and to figure out what starting 11 is going to give him the best opportunity in order to win. And I really love the transfers he's brought in so far. And we mentioned last show that Inter Miami has brought in a ton of transfers since the last time they've played a game. They've brought in Baltasar Rodriguez, the central midfielder, and they brought in the striker from Atletico Madrid, the young 18-year-old. And we all think that, you know, that they're both going to play. They're young players. I always say players who go out on loan are expected to play. You don't get sent out on loan to ride the bench. And I'm increasingly intrigued with the transfer that they brought in Alan Obando. And by the way, Obando is on loan from Barcelona. I thought it was Atletico Madrid.
Barcelona, the Ecuadorian Barcelona.
Okay, that's it. That's
so
it.
So they sold him to Atletico Madrid for, I believe it was, $4 million.
Okay.
Atletico Madrid sent him over.
And I thought I was right on Atletico. I saw the Barcelona emblem, and I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on?
Did
something happen within the last day that I wasn't aware of? But I think he's going to play. Luis Suarez is, I want to say, the lone striker on the team. And then, listen, we love Luis Suarez. He's part of the Big Four. He's a huge reason that Inter Miami has been able to be a successful franchise over the last 2 years. But I love that this young player is going to get his reps, Damian, at the striker position.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we got rid of Campana before the season, which was set to be the backup to Luis Suarez. And at the end of the day, I mean, this is not really a knock on Suarez. It's a long season. And for it being a long season, you know, there's added tournaments. You got the Club World Cup this year that we didn't have last year. So there's even more games than what we had last year. So it's important from a longevity standpoint to, you know, have these players down the stretch, and most importantly, when it's playoff time.
Let's go through everything. So Inter Miami is in the MLS. Let's go through the competitions. The Supporters Shield, that's 2. CONCACAF Gold Cup, 3. FIFA Club World Cup, 4. And the Hunt's Open, right?
Yep, the League's Cup.
The League's Cup. So that's 5. It's 5 competitions our Herons are going to be involved in. Damian, we're talking 2-3 games a week at one point.
Yeah, and that's... The season has just started.
That's what I mean. That's when the roster's really going to open up.
In a few months, in 2-3 months, you know, there's going to be the MLS games on the weekend. And then in between that, we're going to have, for example, Leagues Cup, CONCA Champions, or even the Club World Cup. Actually, I think for the Club World Cup, everything kind of freezes. You know, it's standalone. But, I mean, even it's still a competition that, you know, you have to travel for. You have to take into account. You have to prepare. So whether it's not, you know, physically draining as it is with other tournaments, it's still mentally draining. And the fact that you have to prepare for it also, you have to take it into account.
10 players Javier Mascherano brought in the transfer window. Marcelo Wigan, Fafa Picault, Gonzalo Luan, Tadio Allende, Oscar Ustari, Telasco Segovia, Rocco Rios Novo, Maxi Falcone, Baltasar Rodriguez, and now Alan Abando. 10 players already in the mix with what is already on the roster. I think the sky is the limit for this team. And Damian, I think we could both agree the main vocal point, not saying that the MLS isn't the vocal point right now, because you see Messi getting some resting days and, you know, the big storyline, it's hysterical. This is something I'm going to have to get used to covering the team this year. The big storyline is Messi. Is Messi going to play against Philadelphia? It's going to be a thing all year. But I think the CONCACAF Gold Cup is the number one priority for this team right now. And I think it's important not only to the Inter Miami Herons, but also to the legacy of Lionel Messi to win the quota. Because CONCACAF Gold Cup, let's call it for what it is, it's the Champions League of the West. It's the Champions League for the North American teams. I think Messi wants to say he won it.
Absolutely. And I mean, the MLS, it's important from a standpoint, you know, it's the tournament that we are most accustomed to here in the United States. But if we're looking at it from an international standpoint, from a known tournament, like you said, if it's got the champions allure, if it's got that aura, the CONCA Champions is definitely a bigger trophy, quote unquote, than the MLS trophy, because it's an international. It gives that international value. And also, if you win the CONCA Champions, you're automatically qualified to the next Club World Cup. So there's also that dynamic from it. But, I mean, I got to agree with you. If we're looking at it from a priority standpoint, obviously MLS Championship and the CONCA Champions are the two clear favorites, and then CONCA Champions has a little bit more weight than the MLS Cup, in my opinion.
Yep, and it's because it's the best of the best going up against each other. That's why I said, if you're familiar with the Champions League on the UEFA side, this is exactly what it is for the Mexican teams, the United States teams, the Canada teams, hell, the Caribbean champion, right? You saw Inter Miami square off against the Caribbean champion and Cavalier SC about 2 weeks ago. So it's the top of the top for a reason. And in the end of the day, do you want to know what it comes down to? It comes down to the Liga MX's versus the MLS teams. That's what it is. That's what it is. And if you're an American, you always root for an MLS team to win. Now, for me specifically, I want Inter Miami to attain victory. But you would rather see an American team, if you're an American, win than a Mexican team. Because, I mean, for years, Damian, for years before the MLS truly became one of the best leagues in the world, the Liga MX teams would just run roughshod. I mean, Monterrey, Tigres, all of these great clubs that have a history of culture and soccer, they would laugh at the U.S. teams. They would, I don't want to say make a mockery of us, but certainly it wasn't really a competition until a few years ago.
No, and to that point, I mean, if we look at last year's edition of the CONCA Champions, in the Final Four, there was 3 Mexican teams and 1 lone MLS team, which was Columbus Crew. So obviously to that point, CONCA Champions, the Mexican teams are, like you said, the heavier favorites. But
about the Whitecaps, though?
Yeah.
Vancouver knocking off the champion in Monterrey.
That's where I was going. One of the big, heavy favorites, Monterrey, They got knocked off Vancouver unexpectedly, so that's a big plus for Inter Miami, especially because they were on our side of the bracket, so now they're not a team that we got to worry about.
Right, and Inter Miami lost to Monterey in this competition last year. So, you know, I don't want to say the Herons dodged a bullet. Damian, I don't think the Herons are afraid of any team.
It's safe to say they dodged a bullet. I mean, we're not afraid, but...
But at the same time, Damian, this team has the most quality out of anyone on this side of the planet.
Absolutely. If you look at it on paper, I mean, absolutely. Whenever your list starts off with Lionel Messi, I mean, that alone can kind of, like, give that win to you. So I got to agree with that. But, I mean, it's clear that Inter Miami did not want to play Monterrey. I'm not that we're afraid of them, but if we could just avoid them, I mean, that's a huge plus for Inter Miami.
And by the way, Monterrey is struggling this year on that Liga MX table. They are eighth with 19 points. CF America, León, and Tigres are the top three teams in that league. Damn it, forgive me for thinking. That's uncharted territory for Monterrey. They're having a rough year right now.
Yeah, and
out of the CONCACAF Gold Cup and not even in the top four?
Extremely unexpected, too, because if you look at their roster, I mean, with the huge addition of Sergio Ramos, you know, they had Canales on that roster. You know, just they have a similar to Inter Miami. They are that team that has, you know, the big names. They have the deep roster, so it's very surprising to see the start of the season.
I think
had.
That league, not to go too deep into Liga MX, folks, but that league, really, the three teams that come to mind, Monterrey, Tigres, and Chivas. Those are the three. And Chivas
and America.
Is 10th.
America, I would put in that list as well.
Chivas is 10th.
Yep.
About that.
That's Julian's team.
Is it?
Yep.
Julian. Julian Salvador, folks, our ESPN Deportes program.
Fun fact about Chivas, it's just homegrown players, similar to how Athletic Club only signs players from the region. So does Chivas.
Awesome. That's, you know, maybe that's why they're in 10th place.
Right. But
neither here nor there. Folks, this is Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We're taking you all the way until 7 p.m. As we've mentioned, our Inter Miami Herons were on the bye week last week, so no highlights for us to go through, but we're going to have plenty of highlights coming up next Wednesday because we have an MLS game coming up tonight, and then this time, Damian, next week, we're going to be gearing up for that CONCACAF Cup against LAFC, and I believe at LAFC, our partners, our buddies, our sister station, they're going to be in town for that. I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm pretty sure Pink Smoke, this is according to sources. Nothing is in stone yet. But Damian Perez, according to sources, Pink Smoke is going to be on the road next week.
Get out.
Yeah, so according to sources, Pink Smoke might be on the road next week. We are certainly looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to getting LAFC and all that good stuff starting up next Wednesday. Damian, what going into this game, going into Philadelphia, is the main story? Because with me, all year long, we're going to be dealing with, is Lionel Messi playing? Is Lionel Messi playing? That's obviously a storyline in itself in any Inter Miami game. But what's something that maybe outside of Messi that you're looking at on the back burner, that you're looking at closely as we get into this matchup against the Philadelphia Union?
Well, I think, obviously, like you mentioned, the main narrative, the main question that we're all asking ourselves is Messi going to play? Will he start? How many minutes will Messi get? But I think apart from that, you know, I think this is Inter Miami's biggest test up to now this season. I think the start that Philadelphia has had, now I know they lost their last game, or no, they won the last game, but before that they had a surprising loss. I think it was to Nashville. I can't remember.
It was Nashville.
Nonetheless, I think Philadelphia is one of the hotter teams. They had one of the hotter starts out of everybody in the league. So I just think in general, it's just a big test for Inter Miami. And whether Messi is there or he's not, I think Inter Miami still has to prove that if Messi is not on the field, that they can still compete with the highest teams at the highest level and they can still pull out wins.
And we'll go through our Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath official injury report for the Inter Miami Herons coming up in the next segment. But yeah, I'm looking at a couple of guys like Fafa Pico, right? The last time we saw a game, Fafa Pico subbed on and had the biggest goal of the year. And that goal was a game winner against Atlanta United in Atlanta, in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So
first time Inter Miami has won there.
Is Pico going to get the nod to start? Especially if, Damian, if Messi can't go, we know that Messi plays right wing for this team. Historically, Messi was a central attacking midfielder. But for this Inter Miami team, he comes off of that right side. Is Benjamin Kromaski going to get the call if Messi can't go? Or is it going to be Fafa Pico? Because we know one thing. Luis Suarez is probably going to be the striker if he's fit or you know, has the legs to go. We mentioned that Suarez is kind of an older guy. I think that's a big reason why they brought in the Abando kid from, I believe,
Barcelona.
Thank you. From Barcelona. So, you know Suarez is going to be there. And then Tadio Allende. Allende, Damian, is a household name on that left side. And I think a big selling point, because, folks, let's rewind. Let's rewind to the summer when Allende came in on loan. He came over from Celta Vigo. And Celta Vigo is a Division One La Liga Spanish player. You know, the same level of soccer where Barcelona and Real Madrid do their playing. So, like, Celta Vigo, big-time club. I think a big selling point was, hey, we want Allende as your starter on the left wing. Like, we want him playing.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the impact that Agenda has had to this start of the season, similar to Fafa Picol, I mean, him and Segovia as well. Segovia, Agenda, and Fafa Picol. If I were to mention the three players that had the biggest impact on this squad, it has to be those three, apart from Suarez and Messi, obviously. But those three players, they came in, you know, they meshed in right away. There really was no adaptation period. It kind of just happened right away, very naturally. And Tadeo Agenda, I mean, up to now, what player can you say is more lethal down that left flank than Agenda? And I feel like that position is locked up.
He's lengthy. He's tall. He wins aerial balls, too.
He can create. I mean, yeah, there's plays where you just ask yourself, like, where did he pull that out of? You know, those shots where you think he doesn't have an angle, but he still puts it top in. So, I mean, he's a player who can create on his own.
I go back to the game that I was lucky enough to be on play-by-play for against Houston. When he had a finesse shot on his left foot on the left side of the box, it's unheard of. It went from left to right.
I was going to say, it ended up top right.
It went from left to right into the top right corner. You rarely see stuff like that. So you see the quality. You see the quality of Tadio Allende. So I think that's what I'm looking at. Damian, that's probably what I'm looking at the most. If Lionel Messi doesn't play, who's going to be on that right side? Because Benjamin Kromoski, who, in all intents and purposes, I think he's a central midfielder.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see him as a playmaking right winger like Lionel Messi and Fafa Pico. So I assume Pico would get the nod. If Pico is healthy and ready to go, I'm assuming he would get the nod on the right side.
And I hope he does. I mean, coming off the high and the momentum that he's on after that Atlanta game, I mean, you got to give him the nod, especially after the goal that he basically awarded Inter Miami those 3 points.
Because he did.
That game was destined to be a tie. It was destined to end 0-0 the way it was, and everybody takes home a point. But out of nowhere, Fafa Picol, you know, he delivered us the 3 points. So just off of that, you know, off of that momentum, off of the form he's in, I think Mascherano will start him down that right flank if Messi doesn't start from the beginning of the game.
Damian, I think a lot of Inter Miami supporters would even say we were lucky to get one in that game.
Oh, absolutely.
With how you know, lethal that Atlanta United attack was for the first 25 minutes of the game.
I think we were all getting ready for a tie game in that.
Right. And for Fafa Pico to come in and have the result, and as you said, give us the result, I thought was everything. And Pico came on over from Vancouver. You know, Pico knows the MLS. He knows these teams, and he knows American soccer. So I think he is a player that Inter Miami is going to be relying on all year long. And another thing I'm going to look at, too, is at midfield. You know, they added Baltasar Rodriguez, another Argentinian. And that seems to be a theme, right? Javier Mascherano getting a lot of his Argentinian players that he had on his U21, U23 squad. I mean, Federico Redondo, Argentinian. Tadio Allende, Argentinian. Baltasar Rodriguez, Argentinian, not to mention Lionel Messi. But I think it's going to be interesting to see. And I don't think Rodriguez will play immediately. He's got to get fit and he's got to get used to life here in the States.
I think he's still working on his visa, last I checked.
He's still got to, you know, life here in the States.
Right.
As I said, my God, the kid's still got to get legal here. But is Javier Mascherano going to continue to go with two defensive-esque midfielders? Like, I like Redondo a lot, but he's not going to bring you a lot when it comes to goal scoring. I love Sergio Busquets. He's going to give you that passing threat that leads to the goal, but he ultimately is a deep-lying playmaker who necessarily doesn't have the legs anymore to go box-to-box. You're really running with four guys up top, and the four guys all year have been Segovia, Messi when fit and in the game, Suarez, and Allende. And if Messi's not available, as we said, it could be Fafa Pico. Is Javier Mascherano, without Lionel Messi, going to trust those four guys to continue to go forward, especially against a team like Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a good team, Damian. They're a team who's top of the table right now. I understand they have a game in hand on the Herons, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how Javier Mascherano handles this thing tactically against one of the better teams in the East.
Yeah, and I think in a perfect situation, I also think an unsung hero from that midfield is Yannick Bright. You know, everything Yannick Bright has done to start the season is kind of picking off right where he left off last season, but kind of adding to it. Last year, he was similar to how Sergio Busquets was kind of like that mold that kind of held everything together. This year, we're kind of seeing him get deeper up on the offensive end. You know, he's had a few nutmegs in the midfield. Yeah. So you can see he's kind of growing into that confidence, growing into his role. And I think he's been very important, especially since our left and right back like to push up and attack. It's always good to have a player who you can rely to kind of hold down the fort.
Listen, I want to open up the curtain a little bit. Lucas Rubio, who is a marketing consultant here at ESPN West Palm, he played high school ball with Yannick Bright. And I was talking with him. He goes, Riz, do you think Yannick could go to Europe? I mean, Damian, I think at this point it might be worth the ask.
He's Italian.
He's Italian, obviously from Italy. But, Damian, he's playing well enough, I think, to maybe earn a shot. And listen, the MLS is a huge league. This isn't me downplaying our league. But he might have done enough to earn a shot in one of the bigger-ish leagues in Europe.
And we saw it last year with Diego Gomez. You know, he's at Brighton this year, and he's playing pivotal minutes for Brighton United. So very similar to how Brighton kind of made a name, kind of took that next step. The MLS is showing that it can be not just a league for, you know, retired players to come and retire at,
right,
but also be a league where they can kind of catapult and just
take
that next step.
To that point, Damian, I think you're seeing it with Allende, no?
Oh, yeah.
Are you not seeing it with Tadio Allende right now?
It kind of worked backwards for him, whereas he started in Europe, you know, came to the MLS. But, like, he is flourishing. Like, I think if he were to stay at Celta Vigo, I don't think he would be having the season that he's having.
He would not have gotten the opportunities.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to put it.
And that's why, like, when I see these players come in on loan for Inter Miami, Damian, they're going to play.
Yeah.
The home club wouldn't let them come on over here if they weren't promised games. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, but some of the times, if they're not getting games, they get called back because it's not worth it. They're going to send them out on loan somewhere else.
You see that in Europe a lot of times with these young players. They'll go on loan and they'll get minutes very sporadically. You know, they'll get the final 5 minutes in a game, the final 10 minutes in a game here and there.
But doesn't do anything for the player, though.
It's very different in the MLS. Like you said, if you're a young player and you're coming on loan from a big team like Atletico Madrid, you are going to get opportunities. You are going to start games, and you can make a name here in the MLS.
Can I say something? That drives me nuts when I see, you know, I've mentioned a lot of times I'm a huge Manchester United fan. Watching a lot of European soccer as I do, it drives me nuts when they bring on a young player like 5 minutes ago. Is that really experience? I could argue it's not. Now, granted, if the game is close and you're looking for a result, I mean, I guess you can make the argument if you bring him on as a super sub to try to get you over the hump and get a late goal. But, like, Damian, I don't think the whole coming on with 5 minutes does a lot. And that's why I love what I'm seeing from Tadio Allende in the MLS with our Inter Miami Herons, really making his mark and making a name for himself. And what a team to do it with, too, that features Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, Jordi Alba, and Sergio Busquets. I mean, as big of a club, Inter Miami is as big of a club as it gets in the world right now. And all eyes are always on the Herons and always on Messi. And I think Tadio Allende is certainly taking advantage of that right now. Let's turn on over to Philadelphia here. I mentioned Philadelphia, number one in that Eastern Conference. They beat Orlando. They beat FC Cincinnati. Their lone loss came against Nashville. And last game, they were able to beat St. Louis 1-0. So 1-2-3, they're 4-1 on the young MLS season. And I think what has impressed me the most so far about Philadelphia has been their striker, Ty Baribo. In 4 games, he has 6 goals, Damian. He is the leading scorer in the MLS right now. The young Israeli striker is certainly making things count for his team this year. And I don't think anybody had that on their bingo card.
No,
to start the MLS season. To be honest, I don't even think people knew who the hell Ty Baribo was before this season started.
No, and that's kind of where I was going at. I don't think anybody had the Philadelphia Union in general to, you know, have the start of the season that they've had. They've always been a team that, you know, they've been mid-pack in the Eastern Conference. It's been tough to go up to Philly and play against the Philadelphia Union. But, you know, they've never been a team that have looked like a team where they can take that next step and be declared as a clear favorite. I think this year they've kind of involved themselves in that discussion. You know, they started off the season on fire. Yep. They had that slip up against Nashville, but then they came back and won against St. Louis. So not only will this be a big test for Inter Miami, but I'm sure it's also going to be a big test for Philadelphia Union. And, you know, everybody's asking ourselves the question, is Philadelphia Union for real? And what's a better test than to beat Inter Miami? And also vice versa, Inter Miami to beat Philadelphia Union.
Yep, and I think Kai Wagner has been very pivotal to that central midfield. 4 assists for Kai Wagner, the 28-year-old German, in that midfield. So he's been able to make things happen. And defensively, too, they've been playing good defense. As you said, Damien, the perfect storm. They have 2 clean sheets on the year. I think 2 clean sheets and how many matches is pretty doggone good as well. So if Inter Miami, if our Herons aren't careful, they're going to find out. They're going to find out that, you know, Philadelphia, I think, is going to be a team to be reckoned with. Now, I can't promise you they're going to finish in the top 3, but certainly they look like a team that's going to be jockeying for playoff position in this Eastern Conference. Folks, this is Pink Smoke. As I said, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, we are handling things up until 7 o'clock today. The Inter Miami Herons, no game last week. It was their bye week. No MLS game, no CONCACAF game. We did have some players, though, represent their teams in international duty. Wanted to go through those real quick. Telasco Segovia played for Venezuela. Now, Damian, we have our soccer podcast, by the way. It's called West Palm FC. It is on ESPN West Palm Play. You can go subscribe now. That is West Palm FC. We release episodes every Friday. But on our podcast, our good buddy who's on our podcast, Elias Bustamante from 760 AM Deportes, he's a Venezuelan, big Venezuelan soccer fan. And I got here, Telasco Segovia playing for Venezuela. Damian, what happened in the game?
So there was actually 2 games in this international break. The first game was against Ecuador. They lost that game 2-1. But yesterday, big, huge game. This was the game that Venezuela expected to win. You know, the game against Ecuador, it was in Ecuador. Ecuador is a tough opponent. You know, you can kind of scratch that one off as a loss. But the game against Peru in Venezuela was crucial for their future in this CONMEBOL
World Cup qualification,
right,
too.
Exactly. So this game was very important for them. They did win the game 1-0, and now they find themselves in the play-in game for the World Cup. Before that, coming into this, they were outside looking in.
So it's win and in the World Cup for Venezuela.
Correct.
Who do they play?
They played Peru yesterday. They won. So now they got rid of that two-week fixture, which happened yesterday and on Tuesday. Now they're good until June 4th against Bolivia, which is another game that they should win, and it's in Venezuela. So definitely should win
that
game.
So if they beat Bolivia in Venezuela, Venezuela is going to be in the World Cup for the first time ever.
Not yet, but they're taking a step in the same. There's still 5 games left. There's 5 games left, and they're in that last spot, and Bolivia is 1 point away from them. So it's very crucial that they win every game here on out, and especially against teams like Bolivia, which are right behind them.
So our very own of the Inter Miami Herons, Telasco Segovia, to Damian's point, came on as a substitute in the 52nd minute, in an important win over Purdue on Tuesday. And then the 20-year-old midfielder showcased great work rate and was a key playmaker in creating dangerous chances. So Segovia getting on as a substitute. Next was Noah Allen. Noah Allen suited up for the Greek national team at the U21 level. Benjamin Kromaski suiting up for the United States national team, the U20 United States national team. So as we know, Benjamin Kromaski is an academy product for the Inter Miami Herons. And he joined the U.S. U20 national team for their training camp and friendlies in Liberia, Spain. Kromaski and the U20 men's team played 2 matches against Mexico and Japan, securing a 3-0 win on the 22nd and a 1-1 draw on the 24th. And notably, Kromaski started and captained the team in the victory against Mexico. How about that?
Wow. Captain.
He was captain of the U20s in a, in the victory, yeah, in the 3-0 victory against Mexico.
Rivals, so, that's a rivalry game. At any level, USA versus Mexico, those are the 2 biggest teams in the CONCACAF. Anytime they meet, you know, that's a rivalry.
Is the U.S. the biggest team in the CONCACAF anymore? Damien, as you know from our podcast, man, I'm about as low as I can get right now on that team right now.
I think they are.
Pochettino's treating it like his, you know, retirement fund, his GoFundMe.
I mean,
I'm very down on this whole operation.
And I can
right
understand
now.
Why, because I feel like there was so much optimism going into this Pochettino era. You know, like everything we've been through with this national team, you know, kind of led to this moment. This is kind of the quote unquote golden era of the USA. I mean, it's hard to think of a better national team. I mean,
is it the golden era anymore? I'm tired of calling it that, Damian.
You would think it is.
Knocked out of the World Cup, knocked out of the Copa. And as a disgrace against Panama, a disgrace. Sorry, folks, I'm a huge men's team fan, and it's just so frustrating.
Not just against Panama, they lost against Panama. Then they had the third place match where they can kind of, you know.
Oh, they didn't care. They mailed that in.
I think you have to care after taking that loss.
They mailed that in. They mailed that in, and shame on them. Shame on them.
I don't.
They mailed it in. They mailed it in.
After that hard loss against Panama, I just don't see how you don't care about that match.
They mailed it in. And then finally, folks, let's end this segment on a good note, because Santiago Morales, the young 18-year-old, he played for the U18 United States men's national team, the friendlies in Marbella, Spain. He was part of a 2-2 draw and a 4-3 win, and he actually captained the team in the draw against Morocco. So Santiago Morales captained in the U18 team for the United States. Benjamin Kromaski captained in the 20th team. So listen, as angry and frustrated as I am right now with United States soccer, the future looks bright for our U.S. products with the Inter Miami Herons and Santiago Morales and Benjamin Kromaski. Folks, long overdue for a timeout. This is Pink Smoke. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez handling things until 7 p.m. When we come back, we'll do the Inter Miami Injury Report presented by our good friends at Smith, Ivy, Lytle, and Fronrath. Keep it locked in right here. More Pink Smoke when we return.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke, your hub for Inter Miami soccer, Inter Miami news. Our Herons were off last week. As we mentioned, they were off last week. No games. It was that international break. We just got done going through all of our Inter Miami Herons who were on international duty. Ton of Herons with a ton of success and a lot of success stories back from the break. But it's time to get back in the action with the game coming up against the Philadelphia Union. And it is officially time to give you your Inter Miami Injury Report presented by our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Folks, if you know anybody that has been injured, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter-Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter-Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
So, folks, the usual suspects on this list, I guess suspects is the wrong word, Damian, but the usual players on the list that we've seen throughout the year. Robert Taylor, he still has that hamstring injury. He'll be back early April. Marcelo Wigan, Dame, we haven't seen, I'm trying to think, CONCACAF, right? CONCACAF, Kansas City, I think the last leg of Kansas City is the last time we saw Chelo.
I think even in that game, I think it was Ian Freya. But nonetheless, I mean, his injury has kind of dragged out into the season, and I didn't expect it to take this long.
So, yeah, he's got that hamstring. They're saying early April for Chelo's return.
Those hamstrings are tricky.
They are, and that's outside of the great one, Lionel Messi. We'll get to him in a second. Every single player on your Inter Miami injury report has a hamstring injury. Robert Taylor, Marcelo Wigan, and David Ruiz. David Ruiz picked up a knock a couple of games ago. He is expected back in mid-April. Well, you know, Lytle, Ivy, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, folks, if you know anybody who has been injured, those are our good partners and sponsors for the Inter-Miami Injury Report. It's time to get into some messy, though, with our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. And Damian, your best guess, does Lionel Messi play in the upcoming fixture against the Philadelphia Union?
Yes. I think he plays. I don't know if he starts. I do think he plays. You know, he took off this this international fixture with Argentina. He sat back. You know, he rested. He rehabbed, and he's been training. You know, he hasn't been training 100% with the team, but you know, he's been doing recovery-based training. So I think he plays. I think this is a good spot for him to play. You know, we're at home. I don't know if he starts, but I think he does get some minutes against Philadelphia.
If he doesn't start, he won't play. That's my best guess. I think you're right. He'll be on the bench. I don't think he starts, and I still think Inter-Miami gets a result. Damian, until proven. Now, when I say until proven, Inter-Miami has done a good job of getting results with Messi not in the lineup. If you remember, the lone time Inter-Miami did not secure victory in a fixture this year was when they were down to 10 men against NYCFC in MLS match week one, when Toto Aviles picked up the red card in the box. Until teams can prove they could beat Inter-Miami without Messi, I don't think he plays. He's injured. And what did we just go through last segment? They're in five competitions. MLS, the Shield, CONCACAF Gold Cup, Hunts, and then what was the fifth? I always forget the
Leagues Cup.
Thank you. They're in five. They know they're going to need, and my best guess is that Messi wants to win all of them. I think him and Mascherano understands how long. Damian, we're going to be playing games till October. I was talking to our program director, Brian Rowitz, and I'm going to be calling games in the fall because the great one, Ken Lavica, is going to have FAU football. It's going to intermix. This is a long season.
Yeah, and to that point, especially with these MLS games, you know, it's very similar to what we see in the NBA where you can kind of just manage just being in those playoff positions. You always want to be in the top positions just so you can have that home field advantage. But at the end of the day, the playoffs is a brand new season, and you just want to be in those playoff positions. If it does come to a point where, you know, Messi is, I guess, quote-unquote hurt, maybe the MLS games are the ones where you can kind of, you know, pick and choose which ones you'll play in and just kind of manage being in a playoff position.
I'm not surprised that Inter-Miami has had success without Messi. I mean, look at the roster. Suarez, Alba, Busquets. I believe we talked for 15 minutes about Tadio Allende. I mean, they've had players step up. And something that has surprised me, you know, our injury report, by the way, brought to you by Lytle, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. I can't believe that, like, Suarez hasn't picked up a knock. Alba, Busquets, they've been healthy.
Knock on wood.
Maybe they've been seeing our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, right? And they've played a lot. Damian, I think they've played in every fixture.
Yeah, Suarez has played every fixture.
They've played every fixture.
Absolutely. And to your point, I think this Inter-Miami, you know, it's not made up of just Suarez, Alba, Busquets, you know, players who you can stay kind of came to the MLS to kind of not retire, but this is basically the last contract they'll have. This is
sure.
The last team they'll play for. But apart from all that, you know, we have players like Allende, who's coming from Celta Vigo, who's 26, if I'm not mistaken, who's in the peak of his career, who still wants to progress, and who I imagine still wants to be in Europe in a few years. So, and just like Allende, you know, Segovia, similar time frame. Fafa Pico, another one. So kind of the point I'm trying to make is that we have players who, yes, you want to play with Messi, but at the end of the day, if Messi is not there, they can take the reins of this team and they can still find victory.
What you're trying to say is those guys have played a lot of soccer. Meaningful soccer.
Yep.
Meaningful football. Okay? They know what it's like to deal with pressure in a tough spot.
And it's an opportunity at the end of the day.
Look what Pico did two weeks ago. Look what he did 2 weeks ago. It's a game winner. 3 points were on the line. He comes in the 89th minute and gets a header for the win. That's an experienced ball player.
Yeah, it's an opportunity as well for all these guys, because with Messi on the field, you know, it's a different dynamic. You know, he's the guy everybody's looking for. He's the guy that's kind of calling the shots. He's the leader of the team. But without Messi on the pitch, you know, it's kind of up for grabs who wants to step up and be that player that, you know, takes the team to the next level.
Folks, that was your injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. If you've been injured, folks, you got to hit up my good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. They've been representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. That is Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, your official sponsor of the Inter-Miami Injury Report right here on Pink Smoke. Folks, when we return, we will go around the MLS. Stay with us.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back to Pink Smoke, folks. Our final segment, your home, your hub for Inter Miami soccer news. No games for our Herons last week. It was a bye week in internet, not necessarily a bye week, international duty. How about that? We had a bunch of players for our Herons on international duty. Telesco Segovia, Noah Allen, Benjamin Kromoski, Santiago Morales. Lionel Messi did not end up playing for Argentina. He is dealing with a deep muscle injury tissue. We will have to see if he plays against Philadelphia coming up on Saturday. But now, folks, it is time to see what's the news around the MLS for their good friends at Audi.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Folks, have you seen that new Q6 e-tron? If you haven't, get on out to your local South Florida Audi dealer. I mean, make a statement. Make a statement when you're going on down to Fort Lauderdale to see our Inter Miami Herons. Make a statement by pulling into that lot with the brand new Q6 e-tron. Make a statement with our good friends at Audi. Well, Damien, it's time to take a look and go around the MLS and look no further than the Philadelphia Union. The Union in first place in the Eastern Conference, and that is who Inter Miami is matched up with coming up on Saturday. Philadelphia picked up a big 1-0 victory over St. Louis. By the way, how about St. Louis? I forgot how good they were. St. Louis had a good season last year. I believe it was their inaugural season.
Yep.
And they beat the Galaxy. They beat the LA Galaxy, who won the MLS playoffs last year like a drum, 3-0. Once again, folks, this is your Around the MLS segment presented by our good partners at Audi. Visit your local South Florida Audi dealer today and test drive that beautiful and brand new Q6 e-tron. But the Union, as we said, they are in first place in the Eastern Conference, and the Inter Miami Herons are going to be hosting them 7:30 coming up on Saturday. How about Charlotte? I guess all it took was a loss against the Inter Miami Herons about 3 weeks back because Charlotte beat FC Cincinnati 2-0, and then they went on and won against San Jose 4-1. Now, San Jose certainly not world beaters this year by any means. But you got to beat who's on the schedule, and Charlotte has done that. Right now, there is a 1-2-3-4-way tie for second place in that Eastern Conference between the Chicago Fire, Nashville, Inter Miami, and Charlotte. So the Herons with a chance, with a game in hand, by the way, with a chance to get first place back from the Philadelphia Union. Damien, this is a true three-point game. I love saying that. A true three-point game for the Inter Miami Herons coming up on Saturday. But that's a kind of an outlook on the Eastern Conference right now. The Columbus Crew, by the way, they started out pretty hot. They won their first two games. Dame, they've drawn 3 in a row. Now, always nice getting some points. But with teams like Charlotte, with how well Philadelphia is playing, and how about Chicago, too? I mean, you're going to need to put some W's on the board at some point. The Crew tied against Houston 0-0, tied against San Diego 1-1, and certainly one that they're disappointed about, tying with NYCFC 0-0 over the weekend. So the Columbus Crew, who are already knocked out, and Damien, the Crew, a household name in that Eastern Conference, household name in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We mentioned the Columbus Crew were the last American team, the last MLS team left in the CONCACAF Gold Cup last year. They're already out of the Gold Cup, and they're on sixth place right now on that Eastern Conference table. So it might be something worth keeping an eye on. It's the Columbus Crew.
Yeah, and similar to Inter Miami, Columbus Crew is also playing the Club World Cup. So they're also going to have a long season. And, you know, like you said, picking up draws, these draws early in the season, can come back to bite them in the butt later on in the season.
Let's move on over to the Western Conference. Vancouver still in first place with 12 points. Now, they lost their last fixture. Vancouver won their first four games in a row, and then they ran into the Chicago Fire, the Fire going up to Vancouver and beating them like a drum 3-1. But they're still at the top of the table with 12 points. How about Austin FC? Austin FC has won their last two fixtures. They beat San Diego 2-1, and the game before that, they were able to beat, how about that, LAFC. Austin beat LAFC 1-0, and they are tied for second place with the aforementioned Los Angeles FC. The FC lost their two games before picking up a win against Sporting Kansas City. And Damian, I mean, my God, Sporting Kansas City, 1 point so far this year. Damian, 1 point. One point.
They are saving LA Galaxy from, you know, that
embarrassment.
Kind of, exactly. From the embarrassment, from being the worst team in the league. Because, I mean, I feel like it hasn't been met. And I know we mentioned it last week, but LA Galaxy, the start that LA Galaxy has had, I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Right, and we'll get to them in a second because right now, similar to my Manchester United Red Devils in the Premier League, they're a hashtag scroll down FC. Moving on that Western Conference table, though, San Diego, 8 points, tied for fourth, St. Louis. So a couple teams at eight, the Rapids, Minnesota, St. Louis, and San Diego all tied for that technically third spot because we have two teams tied at second. So we have a plethora of teams tied at that third spot with 8 points at San Diego, St. Louis, Minnesota, and Colorado. You guys mentioned, or rather you guys, Damian, you mentioned LA, 2 points so far. The LA Galaxy is the defending cup champions of the MLS Cup playoffs. They have 2 points on the year, Damian. Their last two matchups, they've gotten drawn. So, three straight losses to start the year. They drawed the Timbers 1-1. You know, the Timbers aren't what they used to be, but certainly a tough place to go and play. And then they drew with Minnesota United 2-2. This is probably the most surprising, you know, start out of any team in the MLS this year, the LA Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. I think it's sound the alarm time for LA Galaxy because, I mean, sometimes you see teams not get the result they're looking for, but, you know, they still look like a good team on the field. This is not the case with LA Galaxy. Apart from losing games in the MLS, you know, they lost in CONCACAF Champions as well to a team that many would say was one of the most favorable teams you could have drawn in that CONCACAF Champions. So, just bad vibes in general for LA Galaxy, and I don't know what's going to come from it because, you know, the start that they've had, not only is it bad from a points perspective, but I think from a mental perspective, it's also going to take a toll.
The Galaxy, 2 points on the year, by the way, taking a look at that supporter shield. Taking a look at that supporter shield standings. Galaxy in 26th out of 30 teams, and the teams with 1 point on the year, New England, Sporting Kansas City, Toronto, and Montreal. So that is your official Around the MLS update presented by our good friends at Audi. Once again, folks, get on down to your local South Florida Audi dealer. Test drive that brand new Q6 e-tron and make a statement when you pull into that lot at Chase Stadium in the brand new Q6 e-tron. Damian, I know you already told me you think Lionel Messi is going to play, but give me your final score prediction coming up 7:30 Chase Stadium, Philadelphia Union versus our Herons.
I got 2-0 Inter Miami. Inter Miami coming off the bye week. I think they're at home. This will be a game where they're going to look to make a statement against the team that's first place in the Eastern Conference right now. I got a 2-0 victory Inter Miami at home versus against Philadelphia Union.
Now, you got Messi playing but not starting. Messi playing but not starting. As far as for me, I don't have Messi playing in the game, and I have him on the bench. He's suited up and ready to go in, but he doesn't go in because Inter Miami is going to be able to hold things out. I'm with you, 2-0, and I'll do you even better. Give me a Fafa Pico goal. I think he starts on that right side for Messi, and then give me a Luis Suarez score. And I'm interested to see down the line, too, if Suarez is going to continue to, you know, play every game. Because adding Alondo, the young striker that they got from Barcelona a la Atletico Madrid, I think that young man is going to see some games.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why Suarez has started and played every game, because if it's not him, you know, who's playing striker? We have players that can play that striker role, but none of them are natural striker, you know, position right. Strikers. I think now with the addition of Abando, we have that striker, we have that player that can come in and play for Luis Suarez whenever we do want to give him a break.
Now, Damian, how old were you and what were you doing in 2006? Let's rewind the clocks. 2006.
Nine.
Okay. I was in sixth grade, Miss Dittman's class, which would probably make me 10. I think I'm a year older than you. I'm 30.
Correct.
Alan Abando, the newest member of the Pink Smoke and the Inter Miami Herons, is 18 years old and was born in 2006. You feel old? You feel old, partner?
That's unbelievable. I mean,
wow.
2006, that's the part that makes me feel
I'm
old.
I'm a nerd, folks. I was about, what were we in? Gen 4. I was playing Pokemon Platinum in 06, probably.
You had the Ruby, the Sapphire.
Yeah, that was early 2000s, though. That was, you know, and the anime was Ash and May and Brock and Max. And I think we were deep. We were already into Sinnoh, or at least at the end of the Battle Frontier. Isn't it crazy how old we are?
Tough.
You hear that music, folks? That means it's time for us to go.
You just had to end it on that note.
I mean, but Damien, the kid's 18 years old, born in 2006. 2006.
Unbelievable. I mean,
I know this is a football show, a soccer show, but LeBron already took the Cavaliers to the finals, and he was 22 years old.
I know we already mentioned this, but I mean, put yourself in his perspective. You know, at 18 years old, coming to Miami, playing with Messi, playing with Suarez, right. It's got to be a dream come true for the guy.
That's what I mean. And you mentioned Barcelona and Ecuador, right? I mean, obviously he got signed by Atletico Madrid, but wow, what a turn of events for the young striker. We'll catch up with you guys next week. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. For Damien Perez, I'm Mike Rizzo. We'll catch up with you next time. See you later. Bye.